The Angsty Christian Podcast is a mature show that deep dives into the problematic aspects of the modern church. Some content might not be suitable for all listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Bonjour, Brotendos and Brotendettes and bros in between. Hey, it's me.
God damn it.
Are we keeping it?
Oh, we're
100%.
I'm not deleting this.
No, that is it right there.
Oh, glasses are coming off. This is, I'm going to be, my head is going to be my hands this entire episode. I can already.
I started today with one brain cell energy, and honestly, I plan on going to no brain cell energy by the end of this podcast. So, sup everyone, it's me, it's Jake, your meditative monarch, because I'm reflecting on the fact that I only have one brain cell in my head.
Well, you had four battery cells in your pocket.
I did have four batteries in my pocket that I pulled out and then left on the empty pizza tray at the pizza place we went to earlier today. No,
after they were in someone's mouth.
I ate them after.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Anyway, fun fact about me this week. Shit, I didn't even think of a fun
we're
fact.
We're doing toxic traits.
All right! We're toxic traits, yeah. My toxic trait is that... I don't know if all y'all are D&D nerds or like Dungeons & Dragons nerds specifically. My toxic trait is that I'm still subscribed to Wizards of the Coast despite everything, or just subscribed to D&D Beyond despite everything that's been going on recently. Because of my mental illness that I share with my friends and that we need to continue our campaign until it's done. And once it's done, then I'll unsubscribe. I promise.
Unless I change.
Unless they legitimately change for the good of mankind, which I'm doubtful.
Wizards of the Coast is known for doing that.
Yeah, because Hasbro is known for doing that, right, guys?
All I'm saying is if any of y'all out there are phantom thieves, go and change their hearts.
Specifically the CEO of Hasbro.
Yeah. And you know, just keep going to the gaming companies.
Exactly. Just every gaming company needs a little change of heart.
Yeah.
Except for indie developers. Indie developers, you're still rock solid.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah, make an indie game about us. I don't know what it would be, but make an indie game about us.
Someone make a dating sim game where
Sims?
Two choices.
Yeah, the Sims. Yeah, just make us in the Sims and tag us.
Yeah.
Don't look up what we look like. Just project what you think we all look like. Yeah.
Well,
Sims.
I play Sims religiously. Maybe that is my toxic trait.
I mean, yeah, the other toxic trait too.
Oh yeah, I listen to Taylor Swift, and apparently, I thought I was a casual fan, but I'm not. According to Spotify, I am in the top 4% of listeners of Taylor Swift. Yeah.
And do you want to introduce yourself so people can not remember?
No. I want them to just guess who I know. Hi, everyone. I'm Donna. What's important about me? I don't know.
You were on two, you know, look at two episodes back, you know, literally Donna was there. And Donna is a guest host for the day.
For the day. And so I'm a pastor. I don't know why they have me on this podcast because I am a Christian. No, I'm just kidding.
So am I. So are
I'm
you. The token non-Christian.
You're the token non-Christian? Yeah. Nice. No, this is good. Yeah, so I'm a pastor of a church in Orange County, and I've lived in Orange County my whole life. And if you want to know more about me, you can listen to the episode two episodes before.
Yeah, the one where we metaphorically grab coffee with a pastor, but not in a toxic way.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I did my best
not
to be toxic, even though I listen to Taylor Swift. And I'm apparently your most toxic Patreon.
Yes. To this day, you're the only one that we blocked. Which, to be fair, was an accident on my part because we closed our Patreon, and I was trying to cancel billing, and I was like, "Oh, what does this button do?" And it just blocked Donna.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first time. I'm just kidding.
What was the first time?
I don't know. I just make things up.
Oh, okay. Because
just
that'd be
to sound
funny.
Edgy.
Because it would be pretty funny if you're like, "Yeah, I used to be part of like Bethel's Patreon." I don't know if they have a Patreon. And then I got blocked, you know, or someone like that.
Fun
know.
Fact: I was blocked from the 1946 film Instagram page.
Wait, What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
It was weird. So they were posting, okay, small story time. So they posted about meeting a social media manager, and it said it was a volunteer position, and I messaged them saying, hey, maybe, you know, I'm just curious, are you paying the person who would take this position? I was just curious. That was my only question. And then I was immediately blocked.
So we're canceling the 1946 film, even though it's supposed to be good and help create better, like,
relationships. Well, I actually watched it. Yeah.
Okay, so everyone out there, you're canceling 1946.
Because they blocked Donna.
They blocked Donna, and they're not paying their social media manager. Which they should be paying their social media manager, especially if they're doing
It's a big thing.
Yeah, they're doing, it's literally, so if you don't know what 1946 is, it came out last year. It is a documentary about the Clobberverses, mm-hmm. And about how homosexuality was not originally in the Bible, but was added.
Or, like, the definition as it is now is not the definition as it was then.
Yeah.
And so on and forth, so forth. Yeah. There's more to it.
So it kind of, like, helps to reclaim stuff for queer folk.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not paying things, I'm like...
That would be a good episode for us to discuss that film, because I watched it, and I'll be honest, I, like, fell asleep to it, so I didn't actually pay attention as much as I should have. But I actually came in with a lot of critiques.
Oh.
But maybe I was a little butthurt, because I was...
Yeah.
Blocked.
I haven't watched it. They just found out that you were a Taylor Swift listener.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
And they were like, we can't have that on our PR. It would ruin the film.
Yeah. I think they also might have looked at my profile and it was like pastor and church planner of a church. Mm. And they're like, who's this straight person trying to tell me what to do? Maybe they were triggered by me. I don't know. Yeah. And didn't realize I was a queer pastor in Orange County. But I don't know.
Hmm. Well, you know who your boy is. This is the only cis man on this podcast. Your dad, Daniel. My toxic trait is I still like Harry Potter. Even with everything. J.K. Rowling doesn't exist. It's all owned by Daniel Radcliffe. I don't care. And you may hear the fourth voice that you may be like, who the fuck is that?
Who's
that
this person in the background giving commentary at random points? Yeah.
So this is Jupiter. I'll let them tell you who they are, but they will be our heckler for the day.
I'm Jupiter, the person that Daniel hired, because I'm also non-Christian, and so it helps him combat the other Christians.
In the room?
Yeah. By hired, I didn't pay shit.
Yeah. So, are you going to block me then? Because I'm going to keep you accountable to that? No, okay.
My name is Jupiter, and I get nothing but made fun of for that. And I deserve it, honestly. That's my toxic trait, is my name is Jupiter, which sounds like the main character of a bad YA novel.
And you have, like, three love interests. And they all suck.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have three love interests IRL?
No. Oh. Have you met me?
I don't know. I was going to see if they all suck, because if so, then your life is a YA novel.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think everyone's life is a YA novel up to a certain point, you know?
Well, everyone is a young adult up until a certain point.
Exactly. No, but everyone has that one point where they're like, oh, who do I choose between? Like, between this person or that person? And it's always in, like, middle school or high school where it doesn't fucking matter, because you're never going to see them again after you graduate.
This is not a universal experience, having multiple people interested in you at the time.
No. Not interested
this
in you.
This is pretty personal.
You're interested in them.
I need you to check it really quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, for me, middle school and high school was me liking people and them not liking me back, and people liking me and me not liking them back. Mm. So it was like always
I didn't have that part. I just had me liking them.
And then they didn't like you back. Yeah,
that's right.
I didn't have any. Not that. Well, no, that's not true. Sixth grade. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I feel so guilty about this to this day. This girl that I went to the elementary school with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, she would always hang out with me, and she would always talk about me, apparently, to her mom. And in middle school, this is when, like, all my friends from all the other schools were all together. I'm, like, hanging out with my friends, and she comes up, and she, like, keeps trying to talk to me. I'm like, can you see I'm talking to my friend right here? And, like, I was, like, really mean about it. Like, I feel so bad. Like, it changed me as a person. She left schools. She changed schools.
Because of you?
You embarrassed her so bad she had to leave?
Her friend said that, but I don't... Logically, that doesn't make sense. Logically, it's like, you know... she probably had something else happen in her family. But to this day, you know, I don't remember her last name, or else I'd look her up and apologize. That one thing I did in 2005.
Is that one of your intrusive thoughts in the middle of the night?
Yes! Yes! I'm like, I'm so sorry, Courtney!
Oh, man. So, Courtney, if you're listening, which you probably aren't.
Who knows?
Daniel's ready to apologize.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And repent of his sins.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, so that's the only time. Yeah, and she liked me, but I was like, I hadn't hit puberty yet. So I was like, what does like mean? You know, like, ew, cooties.
I guess that's my real toxic trick then. Trying to implant universal experiences upon everyone. But you know what definitely is a universal experience? Pogs. We're bringing them back, baby.
So, Jake, what was that about pogs?
What are you talking about?
What were you just talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember anything.
I think what they meant was purity culture. I think that's what they were.
Yeah, that's totally what I meant.
Yeah.
I always thought.
Well, because right before I hit record, you're saying you don't know what they are. You don't know how to play with them. You don't know what they look like or anything. And that was going to be a perfect segue into purity culture, about how purity culture is the same way about sex. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to do it. You don't know where to touch the person. You don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
But never mind. You said it'd be a bitch.
See? Pogs are much like the clitoris.
You don't know where they are.
You don't know where they are.
You don't know where to find them.
You don't
know how to play with them.
You don't know how to play with them. How to stimulate them.
Anyway, so we're talking about purity culture.
I'm crying. Oh, God, I hate that. Everything about that.
I just wanted this whole bit where we just gaslighted you specifically. And then it just turned into everyone going like, what are you talking about? We're not letting you gaslight anybody.
I think we was a really interesting word to use.
I know.
Us gaslighting Daniel. But I really do think it was maybe just one specific person gaslighting Daniel.
Damn.
That's typically happens.
Next time I'll clue y'all in. Next time we're gaslighting Daniel. But only Daniel.
All right. So back to purity culture. I think we wanted to talk about how purity culture has impacted the she's, they's, and gays, which all of us fit into one or more of those categories.
Oh, yeah.
So we hired
so
a diversity hire.
I'd like the listeners at home to know that Donna just looked at me extremely pointedly because I fit all three of those categories, and that means I need to be singled out when we're talking about it.
Wow, what a good pastor.
Really bad pastor. All right. Toxic.
Toxic patron. Most toxic pastor. Let's see if you can collect one more.
Yeah,
toxic
one more.
That was like in college in one of my classes. A professor was talking about like black theology or something like that, and a class that had nothing to do with it. And she looked over at the one black individual in our class, and we're all like, "Professor,
bad.
that's racist." Yeah. Except this wasn't as ill. Well,
this was
safety.
It's all about intention, not impact.
Yeah. Sorry,
that was bad.
That is the toxic
trait. Donna's toxic trait is that she grew up in the church for so long and was a pastor for so long at bad churches that she knows how to
be a bad pastor.
Yeah.
And that's why this episode is called How to Be Toxic Without Really Trying.
That's a good name. That's probably going to be the title.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
I'm going to put that in my phone right now.
All
right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go in the group chat. Okay, so where are we?
Speaking of singling people out,
mm-hmm.
purity culture in general does really single out the girls, gays, and theys.
They really
do. Very specifically, because if you put any responsibility on a man in the context of sexual purity, then that's not all right.
Yeah. The amount of... And this is, there's a trigger content warning for this, right?
Yeah, at the beginning of our episode, and then I'll put it in the show description if I remember, which I forgot to do last time, yeah.
Trigger warning, but I have not been in ministry for more than 3 years as a pastor. And before that, I was just, you know, a regular attendee at these evangelical churches, church plants. And I remember, I can't think of one church or one space where I had not heard of a sexual assault occur. I've always heard there's always been a sexual assault wherever I've gone. And I've always, I don't know why, but I've always become the confidant of them. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I just so happen to know certain things that really, really, really bother me.
Yeah. No, I mean, even when I was in college, same thing with me. Like at my previous churches, if and when it happened, I was typically the person that was disclosed to. But in college, I remember I had multiple of my female friends come up to me and talk to me about how they were assaulted on mm-hmm. campus. And I remember back then, I was like, well, how the fuck can that happen? We're at a Christian college, you know? Now I'm like, well, why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, it would be a shocker if it did not happen.
Yeah, it's a cesspool for sexual assault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, because they don't know.
They don't know how to.
Men don't know how to take no. They don't.
Because maleness is respected inherently and mm-hmm. authority is in question.
Yeah. But the she's, they's, and gays don't really get that benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well, there is no benefit of the doubt because, you know, she's, gays, and they's are always wrong.
Yeah, we're not real people. We're just objects and
second-class citizens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all made up in their mind, you know?
Yeah.
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 By the time I was in high school, I was already not a Christian for the first time. And I still became confidant of stuff happening in Christian spaces because I could never tell if it was because they wanted like a non like church confidant or if they thought like subconsciously they wanted someone to like give them like an out like to leave that situation. But my recommendation was always the same. It was always leave. Walk away.
Speaking of toxic things, I feel like this is a generalization. There's some truth to it. So don't take everything I say with a grain of salt.
Cancel Donna.
Does cancel culture really exist? I mean, we could have another conversation about that.
I was going to go on.
Different culture.
Yeah. what was I talking about? I have ADHD, by the way, so I'm going to forget. I was talking about toxic. Okay. I feel like the most toxic cis het men that I've met have been within Christianity.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's just like really, I mean, a lot of really insecure. I think in the last episode I mentioned I went to Mars Hill, Orange County for a bit. And there is fascinating. There's just, it was, it really attracted a lot of, you know, I think everyone has insecurities, but I think particularly men with deep insecurities about themselves.
Totally.
And it was definitely taken out on people who were minoritized. So women of color, especially. I'm in like a group chat with like some survivors of Mars Hill. And I would say the group chat is predominantly women of color. And it's just really, you know, they did a number to me, but like when I hear my friends' stories who are women of color at Mars Hill, it's like, yeah, they were definitely profiled and like were definitely treated differently than even me. So
totally.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense, especially with who Mark Driscoll was, right?
Like, totally. Yeah.
He played into this whole.
Still is.
Was when he was at Mars Hill before he got kicked out or forcibly said whatever. But, you know, like he was all about this mythic person that he came from a hard life and, you know, fought his way into his success, and that's going to attract a certain type of man, you know. And he talked against sissy churches and all that where your grandma went to or whatever, and again, that's going to cancel out certain kinds of men that are more in touch with their emotions.
Or churches like Shock that is run by women. Yeah. You know, like that's
we don't exist to him.
Yeah, we're not don't even count. I don't think he would even want to have to try to talk to us, but I don't want to talk to him. But anyways,
I almost tagged him the other day. Mark Driscoll, come on our podcast.
Hashtag I do not want you to talk to him.
No, I was like, I'm good.
That would be really bad for my nervous system.
I'd get very angry.
I would have many, many therapy sessions later.
To recover
from that. I find it really interesting that something that I've been noticing as like a new person in ministry, as like a woman pastor, a white woman pastor specifically, is how infantilized I am in the career. And like something that my women of color clergy friends are not. And it's really, really sad. And it's really uncomfortable now because I realize that like some people like try to protect me from things that I don't need for protection from, or like, I think assume a mentor role that they don't have in my life. And it's just like really weird to be infantilized as a white woman who looks young, but I'm like 30, I'm like an adult.
Yeah.
So it's just really weird. And I'm sure there's like a lot of purity culture stuff to play in that, that we're subconsciously, yeah,
putting so into that. When you mean that you're infantilized, like they
like don't... treated like a child, or not a child, but like not treated my age. Mm-hmm. And I was like that. I think I also have a baby face, so I kind of look young, but I'm 30. Yeah. You know, and there's men who are younger than me that are treated with much more respect.
Yeah.
So it's just really weird.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a habitual, like, underestimation.
Like, people are shocked. They're like, wow, you planted shock? I was like, yeah, it worked out, you know? It's like, yeah, it's because I'm a, you know, not a child.
I hope you know whenever I talk about, like, admiration for, like, how much work you put into planting shock, I'm not doing that in a way of, like,
yeah,
I don't think you could.
Yeah.
I know that you could, but yeah. At the same time know that for anyone it would not be easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. I don't downplay how hard it is, but I definitely, I think I was built for it, if that makes sense. So it's hard, but like I can do it, you know?
Yeah. But I think it's just fascinating, at least when we talk about the church world, I don't know what I was about to say. The church world, you know, like it makes sense that I don't even know if it's infantilization, mm-hmm. although I'm sure that happens as much as it is. Just the fact that you are a woman in general means that there's no possible, like if a woman can't preach, mm-hmm. if a woman can't be an effective leader because they're just too emotional or whatever the fuck they want to say, of course they're not going to be able to open a church because church planting is so hard. And how can someone who's super emotional do something like that? You know, like
it's all subconscious.
Yeah. Too. It's all subconscious.
Even for progressives, like, cause mm-hmm. you know, I get this in progressive spaces now. Yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, progressive church spaces are still not as...
Yeah. No, there's still like remnants of evangelicalism and purity culture, mm-hmm. and misogyny and sexism that's really hard to unlearn. And so I'm more interested in progress. I'm more interested in like... But at the same time, I'm interested in respecting myself. So it's like part of planting shock was because I respect myself and I want to be in a space that... Mm. fully embraces me, you know, mm-hmm. and also embraces others, and where we can have Daniel preach
on Satanism. Yeah. As I did yesterday.
It was really good. Thank a lot, and everyone loved it. Oh, most people. I don't know if everyone loved it. No one, I not got, everyone.
I've
got no,
I got nothing heard negative. Nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so kind.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I do. I do want to say, you know, like at least you are a, you know, you are a pastor.
Yeah.
And so that may turn people off. However, y'all, like we are still talking about, like in the place that we are recording right now, we talk about purity culture with a bunch of queer and ally folk. And mm-hmm. there's a book club about the book #Church2. And they allow a heathen like me to go up and talk about how we don't need God to be good people. And Satanism is cool, you know? And, you know, so mm-hmm. if that helps, at least as we continue in this episode. You can make whatever judgments you want about Donna, but
yeah,
Donna's cool.
I'm probably a heretic. That's probably what I would
be. Oh, I would say 100%. Every single one. Yeah. Well, so I mean, there was someone at the church yesterday who was saying that their parents were saying that we're a cult.
Oh yeah,
and we looked at the bite method. I'm like, no,
It's actually not. We were convinced we like not a cult in the sense that everyone's a cult. That's what.
Yeah, yeah. Like every religion thinking. Is a cult.
Yeah. But I didn't think we were a cult because I feel like we don't have this weird control.
No.
No.
Or power. Or like we have, of course, people in leadership that lead things, but it's there's no gatekeeping really.
Yeah,
it's really for people who actually want to lead. You know, if people want to lead something, we literally do an ask like, hey, do you want to help lead this? And whoever jumps in, we're like, great. You know, so it's much more like not top down as I think it. But then again, you know, it's tricky. It's messy. Churches are messy, but we're trying our best. We're doing our best.
Yeah.
That was something that I liked. I I've only been going to Shock for less than 3 months, I think. Mm-hmm. But I have already greeted twice and done kids ministry once, and that is something that could literally never have happened at any of the other churches I had gone to, because like part of purity culture is like the over sexualization of queer people.
Yeah. You talk more about that?
Do you want to talk more
can
about
I
that?
Finish my thought first?
Yeah, sorry. And
so like obviously like working with kids, the church views queer people as like inherently sexual. And as like child corrupting and all that nonsense. And so that was something that I fell very out of touch with, because I used to do kids ministry a lot at the Baptist church that I grew up in, and I loved it. I loved kids. I have 4 little siblings, and I remember helping my parents raise all of them. So like raising and like helping take care of kids is something that I was very passionate about, but it became a thing that I became wildly unfamiliar with after I came out, because as a queer person in the church, you're not allowed anywhere near that kind of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So like being immediately invited to like be a part of that, it was both jarring and very refreshing.
And you did a children's ministry with Jonah yesterday.
I did. Jonah's very skilled.
Two queers. Yeah.
Wow.
We have some really good people that work with kids here.
Mm-hmm. So. It was really helpful to have someone who was like more like familiar with like helping with kids ministry stuff, because I was so like out of practice with it.
Right.
And just like remembering how to like play with children was a very nice refresher that Jonah gave me.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful to him for that.
Yeah, we want to make sure, I mean, like, I was a teacher, so I was a mandate reporter. Like, we're trying to like, we're building a structure for the safety of kids, but it, like, we're hoping that we're not being homophobic in that process, because it's just like, I mean, I'm queer, you know, and many people at our church are queer, and like, I'm really sad that the church has kind of over-sexualized or like really made it so that the gays and theys are like just seen as, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was in previous episode where we were talking about, I think it was the Don't Say Gay. That bill that we were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, in our episode We Say Gay, how we were talking about how Greg Abbott is just very attracted to gay folk. Mm-hmm. And, like, all these, the last however many months, there's been a lot more of the drag show brunches and the protests and the, shootings and, you name the blatant homophobia that has been present there, typically done by white Christian men. It's rarely, like, the statistics of how many women have done a mass shooting are very limited, and the statistics of those that are people of color are also small in comparison to the amount that have been white men, and a lot of them we do know that there were Christian roots, but we don't know for certain,
or like
all
nationalism
of them. Yeah, or nationalism
or fascism.
Exactly. And it's just they say, like, if you're homophobic, you tend to be probably closeted gay. Which, you know?
What was interesting was when I came out as bi, I sensed part of my biphobia was being over-sexualized. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Especially being a bi woman.
Yeah, being a bi woman, then you're, it's just, it's wild.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I don't need to defend myself, but it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts to be misunderstood like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, it's another level of harm, I think, done towards people.
Yeah. Like, I've had, since coming out as bi as well, like, and I've been jumping back in the dating scene, I've had multiple people asking me if I want to have sex with them and their boyfriends. And I'm like, no.
Like, fetishized almost.
Yeah. I'm like, no. That makes me feel icky.
Yeah.
Makes me feel weird. And normally I'm not attracted to them because...
Yeah.
I'm very picky with the men that I'm attracted to.
Or, I'm married, and I love my relationship. I love Charles. But, like, one of the questions was, like, oh, so are you going to date girls now? And it's like, just because I'm bi doesn't mean I'm going to start dating girls. And even if I was, fine. But, like, I love being monogamous. I love being married and just because I'm married, like, and come out as bi doesn't mean that I'm, like, over-sexualized. Like, don't over-sexualize me. Like, it's just an identity that's important that I should have, not should have, but I wish I would have known when I was in middle school.
Totally. Yeah.
But purity culture, man.
Yeah. Part of that is definitely, like, being over-sexualized is obviously a form of oppression when sex is something that you, like, demonize and criminalize.
Yeah, totally.
Which, it really is, like, one hit after the other. Like, first, we'll make sex something that is, like, shameful and demonize it in pretty much every context outside of this one very small needle that people have to thread. And then we will sexualize things that we don't agree with. And pretend that that was the way that it always was.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, you do have to do the work of going, okay, queer people are not inherently sexual. But then you also have to do the work of going, okay, but even if you do meet, like, because queer people are allowed to be sexual just as straight people are allowed to be sexual, you then also have to do the work of constructing how, like, criminalized and demonized sex is in our culture.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that demonization of sex that is, like, the root of purity culture, right? And
for sure.
So you create a sexually repressed society within a sexually repressed subculture that expands to... Sorry, you have a sexually repressed subculture that expands larger to become a sexually repressed society, which then expands to a sexually repressed world through the acts of colonization, because a lot of our indigenous roots across the world appreciated sex a lot healthier than Christianity did.
They weren't as repressed.
They weren't as repressed. I mean, and there was some repression. Yeah.
Right.
Well, there was some message. Yeah, there was some messaging or mentioning the other day of how, like, you can tell a lot what happens by the top used words, right? And how right now, you know, a lot of the words that are taboo are more racial slurs, which is great.
Yeah.
But back in, like, I think it was, like, 1500s was when, like, breasts were, like, that term was demonized. Anything having to do with, like, women's genitalia and what have you were like words that were taboo. Yeah. And, like, that's really when a lot of that purity talk started happening, and it's fascinating, right?
Yeah, it always starts with trying to control women.
It does. Every time.
It really just starts there.
Yeah.
There's always the root. It always goes back. Like, even the concept of coming out, you know, like, that is rooted in, like, the coming out debutante balls, you know, of women. And it's
balls.
Like, we all, the purity balls, which was an episode you did. But, yeah, it's all connected back.
Oh, yeah. It's always control of bodies, yeah.
Yeah, control of bodies, not allowing autonomy. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the goal of our purity culture talk, really, with Safe Harbor was... is just, like, you know, unlearning a lot of the, you know, like, the, oh my gosh, I have to not just control my own body, but I have to control others, or not control your own body, but, like, you know, like, repress yourself and then repress others. And so the goal is more, like, how do I develop a healthier sexual ethic or healthier perspective on sex while trying not to control other people's bodies, you know, like, or having autonomy. And it'll be so interesting to see if, like, one of my... it'll be really fascinating to see if, you know, in the future is, you know, hopefully we'll have some good layers of protection intact so that if there was either a sexual assault within our community or if...
Hopefully there never is.
My goal and my hope is with the Purity Culture series is so that we can establish and define consent and help prevent a lot of problems and actually talk about it. Instead of, like, ignoring it. But I actually have a lot of, like, curiosity and hope that this series will lead to us having, like, a healthier environment around sex so that we're not confronted with those sexual assault, you know, things. Which, you know, like, as a woman, I'm going to side with. But we'll have our structures in place for that. But it's just, I'm going to side with the woman or whoever's, you know, the victim. But... it's, I'm hoping this will help with that.
Yeah. Sexual liberation is one of the most radical forms of affirming that a church can be. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And I think the back to the control of bodies, historically speaking, like the purity culture movement started with women, but it was a result of slavery. Because black women's bodies specifically, indigenous women's bodies, Asian women's bodies, pretty much any person of color that was a woman, their body, and even men, were highly sexualized and or taboo or what have you when they could no longer control those bodies through slavery, colonization, you name it. Mm-hmm. Then it moved on to women's bodies in general, which then expanded to queer folk, especially with the sexual revolution and all that stuff. It's just, it's every time, it's just control. I'm not even sure if I would say necessarily control over bodies. It's just control over the thing that, like, it
scares people or scares men.
Those in power, which happen to be white men.
Yeah.
They, whatever they can do. So, I mean, it makes sense because, like, if you are, like, in charge of a society and you want control of people, the best way to do that is to demonize the one thing they can't escape and create a dissociation from their body.
Yeah.
So say that your body isn't trustworthy, your body doesn't matter, your body doesn't belong to you because you are not your own.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's like also an element of like a large part of Calvinism is like the self-denial and like just demonization of like pleasure in general,
like total depravity too.
Demonizing sex is also I think a symptom of like demonizing pleasure in general. Like the idea that you're virtuous by virtue of nothing else other than suffering, which is a great way to, you know, silence people who are being mistreated because, oh, if you're suffering, that's a great, cool, godly thing you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good
you're
point.
You're getting to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's an opportunity.
But it started much earlier than that, though. You know? Like, Calvin wasn't the one. Like, well, John Calvin actually never really said a lot of the stuff that...
that people think he's...
Yeah, yes. Calvinism... Yeah. When
Calvinism
I,
is...
When I say
shit.
Calvinism, it's like a structure. I don't,
well, there's different forms of Calvinism, too. It's not just, like, it's not just the Mars Hill Calvinism.
Well, it's the same with Wesleyanism. John Wesley, like, the things he said were great. John Calvin said a lot of great things as well. Martin Luther said a lot of great things.
Yeah, he said some good things.
You know, but their denominations turned into, like, something different. But... like, it goes all the way back to Augustine. Augustine was the one who created, like, this original sin that led to total depravity.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite quotes of any saint in the world is, he said, "Lord, let me be chaste, but not yet." And, like, I can't remember where I found it. If I ever find the source, maybe I'll post it up. But I remember I saw it a couple
That's
of years
That's important.
Ago.
We need to make sure we're posting. As a person who has a master's, I need to say that.
Yes. But if I find it, I will post it. However, and so take this with a grain of salt. However, I saw like a historical thing that I was talking about, Augustine, and how he came up with his original sin doctrine, not because he saw any biblical evidence, but because he was like, I am so horny.
Yeah, he's a horny guy.
Yeah, he was a very
it
horny
has
guy.
To be someone's
that's
fault
that's
other than mine.
Yeah,
that's what
he
said.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was trying to blame himself,
not
for
mine.
Yeah,
he blamed,
like,
someone who can't defend themselves because she's dead and is already blamed so much for being a woman.
Well, he was like, if I am suffering under this, then it must be God's will, or that I am like just an utterly depraved person, and like sin came from before me, you know. And it's stupid. It's so stupid. Like, there's a lot of good things that Augustine says, as there are with most of these Christian people, right? And then yet they're also very problematic.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Lord, don't let me be chaste. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Lord, let me be horny.
Let me be horny.
Yeah.
Safely.
I also like, I mean, another, you know, another important thing to highlight also are, you know, just asexuality, you know, like, I think.
Looking at you, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't that going to be one of our questions at the beginning? Like, what would make Paul?
Oh, that's going to be later
cringe.
On. Let's look at it.
Yeah.
Outro segment.
Outro.
Stay tuned.
Save that for later.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it in the back pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm sorry, you can finish your thought.
Oh, I don't have any thoughts. Oh, I'm back at zero brain cells here with a...
Hey!
I just want to point out that this entire time, Jake has been on his on their phone and chopping up a toothpick and is now playing with the shavings of...
I'm actually going to give them more toothpicks because it's on my table.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
But, Jake, I would love to hear your voice, and I think a lot of our listeners would also love to hear your voice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just didn't want to interrupt because all y'all had some really, really good points, but like, I don't know. I was just thinking about how it feels like, you know, sexualizing queer folk has, you know, been a huge issue, not just amongst the church, just amongst straight people in general.
Yeah.
And I feel like y'all are forgetting that frat boys exist. literally. Yeah.
Let's not demonize nearly as much.
No. Because I don't know why, but like it feels like y'all forget frat boys exist, and they're some of the most sexual beings I have ever met. Don't get me wrong. I've met some queer folks that at least bring it up to their level, if not a little bit more. But that's not all queer folk. I know plenty of queer folk that are also more than happy to move away from everyone and have their own little cottage where they can just be themselves.
Yeah. I want that
and
so then, bad.
Exactly! Where they can live off the grid and then just come into town. Yeah.
Like, I want a cottage that is like, I want it in a major city.
Daniel, you are so like not. You want the up house.
You want the up house.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Up house. Yes.
Like a city, but then your one little house is just
in a forest, though. Like specifically, like I want to live essentially like in a park, except it's my park.
You want a pocket dimension.
I want a pocket dimension. You know.
You want it. You want to live on the park bench in Central City, New York.
Yes, come see me, Daniel. We will ask you for money.
Live underneath the Brooklyn Bridge.
Gotta pay the troll toll to get into the boys' hole.
You're like a...
Whoa, what?
I saw that. It's from Always Put Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Yeah. Danny DeVito's character keeps saying like boys' hole instead of boys' soul. And it's like an entire thing. And they're like, Frank, it's boys' soul. It's like, oh, that's what I'm saying. Boys' hole. And he couldn't say boys' soul. So never mind. That was whatever.
You're like
I was about to say, like, I didn't want to cancel you live on air, but we might have.
I was just quoting Always Fun Sunny in Philadelphia.
I would have stolen your computer to post this episode to cancel you.
Speaking of that, Jake, I'll break it back. What are your thoughts on purity culture?
I mean, I feel like I've stated a lot of my opinions on previous episodes about purity culture. At this point, I feel like what everyone's thoughts on purity culture should be are don't care. Just leave people alone. Leave people to their own devices at this
point.
It's
really creepy how obsessed Christians and churches are with people's sex lives.
Exactly.
It's so creepy.
They're more obsessed with my sex life than I am obsessed with my own sex life. I'm at the point where I'm so like, I don't care. I'm so apathetic towards sex, which just might scream asexual. I don't know. I don't care. But, you know, I'm at this point where it's just, I feel like everyone should just leave everyone in their own little boxes and, you know, maybe just, you know, come out to each other if you're looking for someone to, you know, be your partner. But if not, then just, I don't know, hang back. Keep it real. Don't get involved in other people's boxes, especially at family reunions. I don't care. If y'all are just like, oh, look, your cousin just had a baby. When are you going to start having babies? I'm like, I don't even know if I want kids to begin with.
Am I getting accidental Jake lore right now?
Yeah, accidental Jake lore, yeah.
So you know, okay, sorry. Okay, keep talking. I was just saying.
No, it's so, yeah, no, it's really, I think it's all really, I think it all circles back to wanting the creation of like a nuclear family dynamic where everyone is like, there's a mom, there's a dad, and then there's at least one kid, if not two, preferably two.
Two and a half,
or a cat.
Yeah, see, I support pet parenting because That just leaves room to adopting more pets, which I think everyone should do.
I could see you as a dinkwad. Do you know what a dinkwad is?
What the hell is
what? That? I was about to say, I'm like, that, slur. That sounds like a slur.
Wow.
A dual income with no kids.
Oh, yeah.
With a dog.
Dinkwad. Love that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Dual income, no kids with a dog.
I support it, yeah. I'm officially...
A being that doesn't have to pay taxes one day is really ethical, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I always thought if I, you know, if I don't even have my own kid, I definitely want to be a part of a kid's life. Yeah. Whether it's taking up more of like an uncle role or even if I end up adopting a kid. I would love to adopt a kid. But there's also a lot of laws and...
There's a lot there, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in place.
There's a lot of stuff
there. To prevent... back around.
Yeah.
For sexualizing queer people.
Exactly. There's a lot of stuff in place that prevent queer folk from wanting to adopt. And so, I mean, I am very cis-straight passing, I would say. And so, if I really wanted to adopt a kid, I might be able to. I might have that privilege one day. Although I don't have any of the financial resources to afford it, unfortunately. Yeah. Which says more about our country's economy as a whole, but that's a topic for another day. That's a different episode. No, it's, so because of this whole, like, push towards purity culture and that nuclear family dynamic, I think it's contributing to an overpopulation problem. And
The queerful movement?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think especially religious folk, specifically within like the Christian realm of religious folk, are very, very too much contributing to that overpopulation problem.
Have we talked about the Quiverful movement on this podcast before?
I believe we have.
I literally just finished a documentary on Josh Duggar last night. I am obsessed with the Duggars, not in like a I love them way, just in like I'm fascinated by them. For those of you who don't know the Duggars, they are a Quiverful family. That means they have like 19 kids, all from the same parents. And now they're all, most of them are adults, and so they have their own kids. And so it's just, it's a mess. It's such a mess. Anyways.
Yeah, just a quick... If you don't know what the Quiverful movement was, it started, I think, in like the 60s or 80s. Sometime in the 20th century.
Yeah, it was probably during the AIDS crisis.
Yeah. I think it was during the AIDS crisis. And it was a way to create future, quote-unquote, soldiers of God, some more quivers in the arrow, to be able to fight the powers of Satan, which was communism and the liberal left. So essentially it was parents who were going to have a shit ton of kids so that they could have kids that would then go into politics and or be just Republican and conservative as fuck so that we continue to stay conservative.
Which is very, very shockingly similar to a certain policy way, way back in, we're talking like the 1930s over in Germany, where they did very similar things. Between 1939 and 1945, during the Nazi movement, it's very, very similar except in that one they were forced to do it, and in this one they're forced to do it, but like emotionally forced to do it, and not necessarily
spiritually forced,
and not like lawfully forced.
There's a lot of I don't know if all of them feel like they're doing this, but there's a lot of whiteness in that too, like raising up like white kids.
Exactly.
and having more white kids than people, kids of color, you know.
Which super reflects the Nazi movement.
Exactly. So when you're saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, like that does username checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Okay.
Is that why I have six siblings?
That's why Charles has seven siblings.
Aww. Jupiter, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry that we had to break this to
you. They failed so horribly. None of us are Christian.
I know. Well, that's the thing is, like, it usually doesn't work.
They didn't succeed in making a bunch of white
babies. Well, yeah, because if you raise kids...
It would be really hard to fail making a white baby. Like, if your intention is to have sex to make a white baby, you know, something would have to go really wrong for your baby to not be white.
So, just a... Charles is bringing a bunch of water bottles downstairs, and we might hear a lot of crunching in the trash can.
And if there's any background noise, it's because we have the AC on here, because it was kind of warm, even though it's like 59 degrees.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. Hello, Charles. You can say hi, Larry.
Hello.
Okay.
We love
Charles. We stand Charles.
We stand Charles. He's my partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we can have Charles
on the podcast. We should have. Oh, he would be so great.
It would be great. I would just, like, honestly just give Charles a podcast, let him talk about something for hours.
Him and Jonah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We talked about, after you left, me, Jonah, Daniel, and Charles should all have podcast.
No, I wasn't saying podcast. I was saying TV show.
TV show? So much work.
No, I'm saying, like, lock us inside of an Airbnb in, like, Joshua Tree for, like, 1 week. Anyways, this is irrelevant to the podcast.
Yeah, let's
sorry
move
for
on.
The segue.
Mm-hmm. As you can tell, maybe all of us are neurodivergent.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really? So, anyways, we don't need to belabor the point. We all understand the bullshit of purity culture and, you know, the crap that it's done for all of us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And against us and against our bodies.
I would like to just state that there is, like, hope, though. Like, sexual liberation is, like, a thing that, you know, anyone listening should absolutely seek out. And it can obviously be scary.
Yeah.
And learning any kind of self, like, repression instilled on you by evangelicalism is obviously scary, but it's worth it, and it's nice to not, you know, implicitly hate the vessel you're in.
Yeah, actually, and I think that would be a good thing that we should talk about now, is how do we reconnect with our bodies after purity culture to be able to reclaim sex for ourselves?
How do we build back better?
Please?
Jesus Christ! So, anyway,
the solution is, and this is going to sound like a joke, and I know that you're going to laugh so hard, but please masturbate, everyone, at home.
Honestly,
I'm not joking, and I'm not laughing because I don't find it funny. You should make your body feel good.
Yeah,
for no reason other than to feel good.
Yeah,
I've been literally considering this a lot recently. Like, it is so taboo for male or male-presenting people to use sex toys, but for women it's not because of the sexualization of women.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's like, fucking do whatever feels good for yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not causing harm to anyone else...
Yeah. And if you don't, and if you truly have, like, no idea where to start with, like, getting, like, understanding what you want and what feels good, there are... shops that have very educated people who know about like human bodies and what feels good. So like find the what's that really popular sex shop chain?
Adam and Eve.
Spencer.
Spencer's
so toxic.
Anyway, go to Adam and Eve and ask the cashier. And ask the cashier, hey, like how do I feel good? And just let someone educate you on, like, sex.
Yeah. There's also this really great Netflix docuseries on, like, sex. And namely, it highlights women and women of color. But it's in queer women. But it's, like, a really cool... I wish I had the name of it. Maybe I'll find it and put it in the show notes. But it, like, talks about the different types of sex toys, like, how your body works, why it's taking so long for us to actually, like, research the female orgasm, all these things. And so,
And there's also, I remember seeing it a long time ago from a group of queer folk I'm a part of with Kevin Garcia's Patreon. Belessa is a woman-ran porn site that is ethical, so everyone is paid.
Presumably, yes.
Yeah,
they do a lot of
This would be a whole nother conversation on porn.
Yeah,
because I don't want Jonah here for that. But like, it's I'm starting to like not, and maybe it's like my privilege because I didn't grow up watching porn. But like, I definitely read my porn, but I don't watch it.
You read smut.
Yeah, I read smut.
Getting smutty in your reading.
I read 54 books this year. Not all of them were. What's it called?
I love that feeling.
Substance had substance in them.
Not all of them were safe for work.
Not all of them were this here flesh, Atomic Habits, and Good Inside, which are right
here
on my desk.
The two most abstinent books that have ever existed.
Hey, remember, go check out Molly Tolles' books, y'all.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a homie.
This is like the least controversial
statement that we've ever had.
Honestly, Molly, I hope you're cool with this. But like, go if you're needing tips, Molly will like. She'll be like, okay, babe, look, go to this website, check this out, do this.
Don't be afraid of doing sexual research. Also, you deserve it.
Yeah, and we've done a podcast with Lauren. Go fucking check out Lauren.
Exactly. No, Lauren would be happy to help.
Lauren would be really happy to help. Oh my God, you should try this toy. You should do this. You should do this with this person. You should,
Yeah.
She's been helping me on my slut journey.
I'm proud of you for your
slut journey. I'm proud of you for your slut journey.
Yeah. Thanks.
So proud.
I know I just repeated what she just said, but.
Daniel, as your pastor. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It's gross when someone says, as your pastor. It's like they assume that role in someone's life.
Anyways. No, get yourself some erotica. Figure out what you're into. Yeah. Sometimes it's cowboys. Yeah. Sometimes it's cowboys without the hats.
Maybe sometimes cowboys and aliens.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Maybe. Everyone is attracted to one of two things: cowboys and cowboys without hats.
I was gonna say, get yourself a cowboy rules. Get you a pirate one, or get you a Victorian sailor that's more of a rogue than a pirate, but definitely partakes in illegal activities.
I mean, pirates are just cowboys on the ocean.
Exactly. Except they plunder and steal. Although, it could just be a bad boy with a heart of gold.
Those are my favorites. And with brunettes.
Or friends. Or enemy to lovers.
Enemy to lovers.
Oh, yeah, enemy to lovers.
This has just turned into a personal.
Though I realized I really like best friends to lovers lately.
Oh,
you're so
cool. That's me and Charles. I like enemies to lovers. That's my OG. But, like, I like best friends.
It's more wholesome.
It's wholesome.
Yeah.
I'm a wholesome reader.
I'm not.
Yeah.
See, so my friend Delaney, who came on the podcast, I was trying to tell her, like, okay, I'm trying to get into more like fiction, you know. She's like, well, what do you like? And I told her, like, you know, I like the Percy Jackson, you know, and all these other books. She's like, oh, you should try reading, the Kingdom of the Crown, whatever the fuck. It's a very popular
Court of Thorns and Roses.
Other the same series or the same author, but her series before that.
Throne of Glass.
Yeah, yeah. So she was like, "You should read Throne of Glass."
And Pastor
so
I was like, "Okay." Is reading that right now.
That's really funny. Yeah, it's all smut.
He loves Sarah J. Maas.
Okay, well, he knows it's smut, right?
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, I love Gabe. And so that's so funny.
Sorry,
so
Gabe.
I started reading
I'm
it.
Sorry.
And honestly, here's the thing: it was boring for me. And she's like,
I don't like Sarah J. Maas.
Yeah, and I'm like, Delaney, I don't want to be edged. That's not what I want. And she's like, but it's so great to read it. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, I want fighting. I want, like, actual romance, actual action, actual It was just fucking,
You know what you would like? Zodiac Academy.
Is that
it's
smut?
It's so good.
I have no idea what that is.
Is it smut or
it's
is
smut.
It?
Yeah, I'll try it. Yeah, no, you should try it. It's really good. It's like, top tier. It's a little bit of a bully romance, which is, like...
enemies to lovers, but
it's Zodiac, right? It's the Zodiac Academy, and so it's about two twins. They're Gemini twins, and it goes into the Zodiac and everything. It's funny because it's supposed to be ridiculous, but it actually like accidentally has a really good plot. So it's like you get into the story. So it's kind of like Harry Potter, which Daniel. It reminds me of Harry Potter. But
I'm going to buy the game. I'm sorry. But.
I think you'll like it.
Okay.
It's free on Amazon. What's that?
Well, Amazon Unlimited? Kindle Unlimited?
Unlimited, yeah. Dope. Kindle Unlimited. So just get that for $15 a month and read all seven of them. Eight of them.
Get it for free.
New toxic trait unlocked. Giving money to Amazon. Giving more money to Amazon.
Okay. Anyone here who has not given money to Amazon the last three
giving
months?
More money to Amazon, I bridged my statement.
Yeah.
What is that?
Self-realization. That's what that was.
I
recognize that's a toxic trait. I don't hide that.
I want you to download one of those apps that shows you all your subscriptions so I can look at all the toxic things you subscribe to.
I did that, and then I just realized it's like...
And then you got tired of looking at the weight of all your sins.
I got tired of looking at all the Disney bullshit I'm subscribed to.
Which is also toxic.
Yeah. Which is also super toxic.
Just no one talk about Star Wars, and we'll be good here.
Really?
Love
that's Star. The line.
Yeah.
Okay.
My toxic trait is that I will follow Star Wars and Disney into its villain arc, which is right now.
Yeah.
Which was 5 years
which
ago.
Which was 5 years ago.
When they got the license. When
5 years ago.
It's been more than five
it's
years.
It's been like almost, yeah, like
it's been
years.
Over 100.
I mean, they brought back Clone Wars. I ain't mad.
Yeah. And also, they're starting to monopolize Avatar: The Last Airbender universe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to milk that, too.
I don't care.
I don't care. I want them to make the universe expand.
I want more Avatar. Yeah.
I mean, it was already such a cool universe. And they're just going to tell more stories with
more
it?
More stories.
Fuck yeah! I'm down!
Oh, we got so off topic.
Yeah,
okay, so here are some suggestions if you are trying to reclaim your sex life. First, go to fucking therapy.
Ooh.
Like, go to therapy.
Shout outs to therapy.
Yeah, shout outs to therapy.
Sometimes therapy is not accessible, though.
Yeah, so if therapy is not accessible, a cheap alternative is also doing mindfulness. You can actually change your brain chemistry through meditation. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've said this before, you can also read about it in Finding God in the Waves by Mike McHaig, which isn't the book you might think it is. It's actually really good.
I read it.
Yeah. I'm not like you. I mean, like, pointing to like the mic as in people who are listening. Very good about mysticism and science and shit. But like, you can actually change your brain chemistry. And so that can help. However, I mean, some form of therapy is going to be helpful. If it's not accessible to you, then it might just be a bit more difficult.
We have a strangely large ratio of our congregants are in the therapist realm, either our therapists or becoming therapists or are, you know, trauma-informed mm-hmm. or whatnot. And so we thought, especially after trigger warning, Twitch's death, we were starting to problem solve ways we could provide like a support group for people online like once or twice a month. So we're currently in the process. So I mean, another option is group therapy or there's other like low cost free options. Mm-hmm. Also just having a really safe community.
Yeah, safe community.
Safe important. People that you can talk to is really is done wonders. Research has shown. Yeah, we need to start citing resources.
Yeah. Well, I mean, citing resources as in I'm a literal fucking MFT student. Every one of my books was saying how safe relationship is more important than most therapy because it's where we heal.
Yeah.
And my resources, literally fucking look it up.
Yeah.
Because it was in so many books.
And also it just makes, like, obviously you can't logic your way through every psychological situation, but mm-hmm. like, if you have relational, like, trauma, whether that be relation with, like, your church, relationship with your body, relationship with another person, the way to, like, teach your body and teach your mind that not every relationship like that is to have relationships and indulge in relationships that aren't like that.
Yeah.
Indulge in relationships that are good for you and healthy and mm-hmm. healing.
Yeah, and
and sometimes it's really hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, we are very... I mean, one of the privileges of being in Orange County is we're very close to LA, and so we have a lot of resources, and we're a wealthy county, and so there's just a lot of resources, and so we are fortunate enough to be able to plant a church like Shock, and there's other churches, too, appearing in SoCal.
Well, that's good to know.
But I think that's not everywhere. I've talked to people in, like, you know, rural Texas or rural...
Yeah.
Midwest who are like, man, I really wish Shock or something like it was there, but they just don't have that.
Yeah.
And community in general.
And community in general is very lonely.
And, you know, we tried doing that with Discord, but no one uses the Discord, so, you know. But,
unfortunately, it's hard to start, you know, from...
I was never invited to a Discord for the record, which means that they didn't want me there, which means that...
Because we haven't used it since meeting you.
So. We pretty much killed it off before.
Which means that they killed it on purpose because they
we knew that we're
going to... It's true.
It.
Yeah, it's true. That part's true. No, I was actually going to recommend... So, the internet is a big, wide, open, beautiful, and scary place. both simultaneously can have the most uplifting communities and also the most toxic communities of all time. And it might take a little bit of experimentation, but one of the cool things about being online is that you can be anonymous.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you want to have a safe person to talk to without necessarily spilling every single detail about yourself online, you can probably find someone in a Discord community or any other kind of online community that might be willing to talk to you about stuff like that.
Yeah. But you can also join ours, just DM us, and you know, you can still join ours and start making it come into life.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the capacity to do that. I rather go on Discord, in all honesty. Yeah,
exactly.
But to steal from Jamie Lee Finch, who I do not enjoy as a human being because of how she has treated people of color in the past, as well as other people, which we've talked about before already, especially with Joe Lumen. However, Jamie Lee Finch's work is great because it's about reconnecting with our bodies, especially after purity culture. And a lot that I learned from her, and then also just things I've learned as I've been studying therapy, because purity culture, I mean, like I said, it desensitizes yourself from your body. Like you don't feel at home there. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and you become completely disconnected from it. So you have to like be able to feel at rest and feel at home in your body, and also recognize it as another person. So a couple of things: start referring to your body with whatever pronouns you wish to say it, and start like talking to your body in that way, and do things like yoga and meditation and other forms of exercise if you are able to do it, that are going to help you feel a connection with your body. Yoga is fantastic for it. And even if you aren't able to stand or use different things, there are different forms of yoga that you can do, especially sitting in a chair or what have you. And that's just a very quick Google or YouTube search. But yoga is so incredibly impactful because not only is it a meditation practice or mindfulness practice, but it also helps you feel that connection with your body that purity culture works so hard to get us out from. And so like that is really important to starting it. Then it's putting yourself out there and creating those experiences. As Jupiter said, masturbate.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And I also want to say that we have mentioned just like a whole slurry of things that can like help you sexually liberate yourself. Like masturbation, therapy, mindfulness.
Sorry,
research.
I'm getting too sick. Mm-hmm. You're getting I've been copying Jake. And I'm like breaking the toothpicks.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm just scared of it making noise.
Like, first things first, I do just want to say that you should trust yourself.
Yes.
And it might, and it absolutely is going to seem daunting, but you are worth the effort it takes to make your life and your relationship with your body better.
I also want to name the discomfort I feel of giving people advice. Like, I just don't ever feel like it's hard for me to give advice because I just don't know. I don't know if it's a teacher thing where I'm like, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, but I think you made a good point about like really working to trust yourself.
Yeah.
I think that would be my main takeaway.
You know what you need a lot more than you think.
And a lot of purity culture is saying that you can't trust.
That you can't trust yourself.
Yeah. And so it's how do you get to that, you know?
Yeah. And that's really hard to do. I did yoga for 4 years. And then I like started doing something else But like it was really good for me, especially as someone who, I mean, if you're familiar with the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 8, so I'm naturally just really disconnected from myself. And so doing yoga was helpful for me to be able to reconnect with my body. And I just try to make it, I mean, it's really hard because I don't also like giving advice because I know and recognize that not everyone has the same resources or the same, that's why I'm like so skeptic. Like sus of like self-help books, but y'all are saying good things.
There are things that are helpful if you have the resources, and there are other ways that you can go about it if you aren't able to. Like again, the key to it is getting like learning to trust your intuition and feeling at home in your body. Those are like the two biggest things to be able to then create those experiences of sex and pleasure and fun that are safe and consensual.
That's the main point.
And consent is a really good conversation that we'll be having in purity culture series, because consent, not everyone defines it the same. And so how do we find an agreed upon definition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an important conversation to have. What does that mean? What is consent?
And I think the kink community really shows a lot of beauty of
consent,
of what do you want?
They do.
What do you like? What do you dislike? What is some safety that we can create? And
they also, I think at least the people I've talked to like have communicated there are blurry lines that they've encountered, and what do you do when there's a blurry line and things like that, which is good.
Yeah.
So to trace it back, step one, community, right?
Yeah.
So step one is to seek out seek out community, whether it be friend, whether it be therapist, whether it be Discord group.
Sorry, I'm whatever. Laughing because I thought you were going to go You're into right community hand. By Dan Harmon.
Oh, no. No, okay. Step two is pleasure yourself, whether that be spiritually, whether it be physically, whether it be sexually. Pleasure yourself. And then step three,
Treat
profit.
Yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat
yourself. Yourself, yeah. Step three, profit. Step...
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
The profit is self-fulfillment.
Exactly. The profit is self-fulfillment. So that's already entwined with step two. So the real step three is share your findings and help others.
Pass it on. Don't
yeah, pass it on.
Find the liberation.
Find the clit and or G-spots.
There you go. Yeah.
And share its location with everyone.
Yeah, it's not the same for everyone.
Well, I was going to say, like, if you find spiritual, if you find spiritual or physical happiness or even sexual happiness or self-fulfillment in any of those regards, feel free to share it, because a self-victory is still something to be celebrated amongst friends.
That's
not right. All of them should be celebrated amongst friends, but
yeah.
I should say that a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Like, when you have safe friends, it's okay to be open about sex and to not to share the gritty details.
That's
but
where community comes in.
That's yeah, where, there's, yeah, and like yeah. also personal boundaries, because we are taught in purity culture to be completely open with everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my gosh, I had this thought about this person, you know, like telling your pastor that's weird. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, one of the things we do in our talk too is to like communicate, you're more than welcome. Like, please have personal boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to honor and respect those boundaries. You do not need to share everything with us. And so that people don't feel like they have to, because that can also be uncomfortable. Yeah.
But I think on the inverse, a lot of us will also communicate the opposite. We can't share anything.
Anything.
Yeah. Because it's not safe to do so.
Exactly.
And so a lot of us, like, I didn't share shit with anyone.
Yeah.
And for a long time, never talked about anything with that stuff. So I can never understand. Like, that's part of why it took so long for my sexuality to be understood.
I cut you off. I think that the reason why I feel my experience has shown me that you overshare is because, not you personally, but, you know, the spaces that I was in, is because I was in like spaces where, like, if you shared, it was like seen as like you're better, or you know, or like,
you're
like,
so
yeah, like,
so
wow,
brave.
You're so brave,
you're so brave, you're so bold,
yeah,
you know who that's about,
yeah.
And so, and also because for me, like, my sexual sin was very like. Like it was a respected type of sexual sin where it wasn't like the full like penetrated sex, hetero, you know, whatever. And so like for me, it was more like, oh, she's just like a normal person and like everyone else. Yeah. And so it was more, I was seeing people who were, you know, getting taken off of leadership or for having sex with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And so I was watching that. So I was an abuse victim, but I was secondhand abused because I was watching it happen for the firsthand abused people. And so I think for me, it was like, I felt good about myself because I'm like, well, at least I'm not doing that, you know, or I'm least. And so it's really gross.
Yeah.
Seeing
so,
people
yeah.
made an example of is one of the most scary parts of purity culture.
And that's what scares a lot of people to not say anything.
That's why they don't say anything.
Especially those who are leaders.
It's fear-based control a lot.
And it's a lot of the reason why queer folk in general stay in the closet for so
goddamn
long.
It's why the closet exists.
It's why the closet exists.
They put the lock there.
Yeah.
They actually built the closet.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the
we
closet.
Were just there.
Yeah.
And then we woke up one day and
they
started.
They pushed us in.
Exactly. That's where they told us to go carry some chairs into the closet. They locked us in.
Is that why you have me take the chairs downstairs?
The reason why I make you all...
Oh, I did say
carry
that.
Chairs is because y'all have been in youth group. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I specifically said Donna's making all the queers go into the closet again. So I was carrying down the chairs.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways.
That's the toxic trait. Yeah,
love it.
That took a lot out of me. I'm gonna nap for the next like 5 minutes.
All right.
So today's the news segment. Lecrae came out with a song recently. Donna was telling us before this on Deconstruction. You know, Lecrae.
It wasn't bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah.
But it was confusing because we were. Isn't the past Lecrae has been critical of deconstruction? Is that true?
No, I remember. I actually unfollowed him recently. I don't remember exactly what it was. And honestly, y'all, I'm not going to go and search for all that. Y'all don't pay me for this, so I'm not going to do that much research in all honesty.
Yeah.
But I remembered I did unfollow Lecrae specifically because he had said something negative about deconstruction. Mm-hmm. And like the ex-evangelical crowd and the ex-Christian crowd. That was essentially, if I remember correctly, was saying like if you deconstructed and you no longer follow Jesus, you didn't deconstruct right. Essentially, he was like gatekeeping deconstruction.
That's so sad. That's really sad because, like, out of all people, he's deconstructed and he's gone through, he's been treated really badly by white evangelicals.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially as a tokenized black rapper, you know, like, in the Christian world, like, even in his song, he talks about that, right? Like, he would hang out with leaders and stuff, and, like, he literally names all these people in his song, but, you know, they didn't treat him. Well, you know, especially after the killing of Michael Brown.
I think for me, I'm a little, as a pastor in this world, I'm seeing it a lot in the more like progressive spaces of pastoring. I'm seeing like this weird anti-deconstruction, and it's not like, or like anti, not, they don't use the word, I don't even know if we're defining the word the same, but like, there's just something about, like, there's something really prideful. I know that's like a Christianese term, but like really prideful that I'm noticing, and like people that are like, I deconstructed and then I reconstructed and I figured it out. And I'm like, I feel like that's so like, it's like repeating the same cycle.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Also love the arrogance of, I figured it out too, which is something that I don't even think we proclaim on this podcast that we figured it out. Because like, we could be fucking dead wrong.
Yeah.
Who knows?
it's such a, we've talked about this personal so many times, experience. But it's all about like a personal relationship with Jesus in the Christian world, right? Like, if that's the case, then if it's such a personal relationship, then why do you have to reconstruct in a certain way?
Exactly. And then why do a thousand other people have to like, you know, judge you on your personal relationship too. It's I think that's just a problem with the church post or pre deconstruction.
I also like feel uncomfortable, like, you know, I don't know, like, I do feel uncomfortable with the word deconstruction at times because I've seen how like white people have like literally copied and pasted white supremacy in the deconstruction world. And so like, I do like different words. I do like decolonizing much better. I do like reimagining or, you know, or just like reclaiming.
Remastered.
Yeah.
Digitally remastered.
The DLC.
The Christianity
That's
remake.
That's what Zoom Church is. It's digitally remastered.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's why I understand and I totally, totally support different perspectives on why deconstruction is problematic. But I think when I hear like, oh, if you didn't become a Christian or you aren't a Christian anymore because of your deconstruction, then you didn't do it right. That's what's really, that doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah. And we had Joe Lumen on, I believe Joe was saying like, if your deconstruction doesn't include decolonization, then you're not doing it right. That's the one kind of gatekeeping that I agree with because.
So is that even gatekeeping?
Well, because you're saying you're not doing, she's saying you're not doing it right essentially, but she's saying, or rather, she didn't say that, but she said if you deconstruct without decolonizing, you were just rebranding your white supremacy.
Yeah, or you're just missing the point.
Yeah, you're missing the whole point.
Why you're doing this. Yeah.
And that's why I believe, and one day I'll probably do a study on this and maybe write a paper on it or something, but I believe with deconstruction, reconstruction, or what have you, we've talked about it before, like there's literal psych theories about this stage of spiritual development by James Fowler.
Stages of faith.
Yeah, which
right there.
Yeah, which I really love his, because you know it expands upon Eric Erickson's stages of development, but reconstruction is so different for everyone, and I think like there are four stages that I see. Like there's deconstruction of what you know, right? Then there's and then you get into like the anti-racism part, you know, if you actively are fighting the anti-racism, the anti-homophobia, like you're kind of deconstructing those things, the supremacist ideals, and then the next step is the decolonization. Mm-hmm. Because decolonization, as Audre Henry said, is kind of like, it's outside of this racist norm, the racist culture, and says like, and goes a step beyond to say what was here prior to white supremacy in general. Yeah. Because anti-racism is still playing into the supremacy system of culture, which you can agree or disagree with it.
Well, I think deconstruction and decolonizing is a lifelong process. And there are some people who don't have the luxury of just deconstructing whenever they want or decolonizing whenever they want because they are, you know,
they're... Yeah. Some of us don't get the choice.
Yeah, right? you just don't get the choice. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a lifelong thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think in that journey, like between the deconstruction, which I love, like I use deconstruction because it's what most people know, but... I do enjoy how the Dirty Rotten Church Kids said like excavation instead, where you're excavating your faith and you're digging things up. But you need to deconstruct in order to get to that point. Like, so I say like deconstruction is like you have the system and you say, fuck the system, and you see what's left. And then you do the hard work of excavating. And then in that is the anti-racism, anti-homophobia, etc. Then you start to see the white supremacy part more and the colonization, and you start to deconstruct. And then at some point, you reconstruct. Reconstruction doesn't mean you go back to Christianity. Yeah. Reconstruction means that you reconstruct your beliefs or you reconstruct whatever it is of who you are as a result of.
Yeah, and that was something that I was going to say when you first mentioned, oh, I deconstructed and then I reconstructed.
Did I say that?
Series that, yeah. Like, so that something that, like, Christians say that, like, sort
oh,
of,
I
like,
don't.
Annoy
you. Oh, that they say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I thought
you
didn't
say
that.
I
was going to say, I don't actually like the word reconstruction.
Yeah.
That's a word I actually don't like.
No, that's the thing is that I hate it. It's literally the series that my old church was doing that made me leave Christianity again, was they were doing... Was the premise of it was like, okay, so we've deconstructed our faith. Now let's first of all, they never did. There was never a deconstruction series. Oh. It was just, we think it's a problem that people are deconstructing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Our solution to that is a series called Reconstruction, where basically we don't take all the separate pieces that we've now left ourselves with, like the homophobia, the racism, the white supremacy, and all like the core elements of it. We instead just tell people, no, it's fine, you were right the first time. Hmm. And we just, it was awful. I hated it.
I'm sorry.
And you mentioned something about, like, or I don't remember who, but something about, like, white people co-opting the word, like, deconstruction to sort of, like, lord it over and be like, oh no, I'm not one of those Christians. Like, my mom, my biggest gripe with her is that she says very often, like, oh, I just deconstructed my Christianity down to just Jesus, and nowhere near is that true.
It's a white Jesus.
Yeah, it's a white Jesus who who, even though, like, preached multiple times about, like, sexual, like, not hating on people who are, like, sexually active and sexually liberated, and preached very often about, like, the dangers and the immorality of wealth, refuses to recognize those as things that he actually preached about.
I just had a thought as you were talking, because I was processing, like, why? Why are these churches doubling down? You know, and I think it goes back to this fear of losing control.
Yeah.
Like, this fear of losing control. And I think for them, they got excited when it was like, oh my gosh, like, we're deconstruction friendly, you know, and they got excited for a while. And then they realized, oh, I actually can't control anyone's spirituality or faith anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's scary. And so I need to, like, develop this curriculum around reconstruction. And it's like, no, that's actually missing the entire point.
Yeah. Well, it's all money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are losing money because people aren't going to church and tithing.
And I want to be, I am I'm a pastor of a church plant, which is, you know, a tiny guy, a tiny little thing. And
just a little guy.
Just a little guy. Yeah. And I totally resonate with that fear. Mm-hmm. I want to name that, the humanity in that fear.
Totally.
But at the same time, like, I mean... It's like, you know, it just reminds me, like, of just, if you look at scripture, if you look at how Jesus, like, Jesus talks, it's just like, how can I go against my morals of what's good or what's, you know, of Christ, if you will, to like for the ability to get more money or more people or whatever. It just, it's, I can't go against that. That's, it's just, it's not of Christ. And I think it's, I understand the fear, but I can't let that fear lead me to do that stuff. Yeah. You know,
I think it's all kind of very much rooted in American Christian nationalism too, and I mean that's plays into part of the like white supremacy. Everything plays into the
kind of the root of all evil.
Unfortunately, it's where the money is, but
But yeah, no, churches are dying. Like that's just the reality of it. But and I think it's scary, and I think it's just more of a sign though that we need to start from the ground up.
Oh, totally. I think, like when I was a pastor, I never wanted to be a full-time pastor because I felt so guilty about my paycheck or my living coming solely from a church. But if I, you know, did stuff on the side or what have you, like I felt less guilty in my conscience about that because I could still do what I was hoping would be some good. But, you know.
Yeah.
Quick aside, I just realized that a year ago, I watched a sermon, like a New Year's sermon from Saddleback Church, regrettably, talking specifically about their financials and talking about, see, our church isn't losing money. Our church isn't dying. In fact, there are more Christians now than ever. Oh, the church isn't dying. Oh,
that's hilarious.
And it's so...
You know the church is dying when Saddleback has to get in there and be like, guys, we're not.
Guys, we have this under control. We're fine. We're not. There's like nothing's burning, happening.
There's like fire in the back.
Exactly.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. We're fine.
No, I remember. I remember watching that and going, "This is such utter bullshit. Why would you? You're not like, what's the? What is the point about lying about the numbers of Christians? Yeah, I know it's propaganda, but it's like, what is? What is the point of lying about it? What? Why not encourage people to? I don't know. Spread the good word. I don't know. Even from their standpoint, I'm like, why the fuck are you lying to these people?
It's like people know there's a problem, and it's like, for whatever reason, leaders in these realms of church, they just can't see it. It's like, do you see why people are leaving?
They
like,
need to both be the, they being like the general church.
Big C church.
Big C church. They have to be simultaneously... have the fear that Christianity is under attack, which is why church is dying, and also be told, no, it's fine, you're like doing the right thing, which and everybody knows that.
Yeah. Persecution is why we're not dying.
And there's a lot of dualities like that throughout.
We're under attack, but we're getting stronger.
Yeah, we're fine.
But we're but like we can crumble at any moment if we let them win. But they won't win because we're stronger.
It's literally just a mirror of like the Christian and American conservatism, like the left is simultaneously a bunch of weak hippies who are all entitled and who are all entitled and given participation trophies, and at the same time violent extremists that are going to destroy the country.
Or participation trophy, I want to kick everyone's ass and steal their trophies.
I love that.
That sounds like a direct quote.
I love that
unfortunately.
Anyways, I gotta go pick up a cat.
You gotta go. Donna has her own cat. So, anyways, that's it.
That's it.
That's the episode.
That's
tuning
it.
In.
Everyone should masturbate.
final answer.
Final call to action. You could say.
Don't masturbate. Let us know your toxic traits. If you need anything, DM us. But
good
I'm
answer.
Not your fucking therapist. Good answer. I'm sorry, Mom.
I'm sorry, Mom.
I'm not sorry, Mom.
I am not sorry, Mom. My mom is cool.
I'm not sorry, Mom, either. You should
my
deconstruct
mom would
more.
Love
what
listening.
You should actually get down to Jesus. I think that'd be good for you. Mwah.
My mom is the sweetest Jesus-loving person who would love this podcast.
Your mom is actually a very sweet
She's
person.
She's really nice,
I think that was our trail off rant.
Dear Lord, help us to be horny and take care of our sexual needs. Help us live into a healthy sexual ethic that honors you. Help us not to fall into the traps of staying pure. Help us not to punish ourselves for impure thoughts. Help me to not objectify my partner or make them feel uncomfortable. For these things bring pain to myself and to others. Help me to be an example to others in what I say and how I live and how I love. Help me not to focus on my own purity, but to take much interest in others. Amen.
Amen, gay men.
Not gay men.
It sounded like gay man. Men.
I thought that's what you wanted me to say.
I mean, it works either way. It's I think one is going to the almighty game and the other one is just going out to the gays. Which I think is both relevant. I mean, yeah.
The same person.
Thank you so much for listening to that Angsty Christian podcast.
All of our music was written by Brad Tsushima. He is such a homie. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. And make sure to follow us over on our Instagram at Angsty Christian Pod.
But if you want to email us for anything, like you're angry at us or you hate us, add the cast at the end of that. So Angsty Christian Podcast. And also make sure to like, subscribe, and leave us little kind or mean messages on Apple Podcasts.
We would love to read them so much. It's my favorite activity.
But just know that our moms also read it, so you know.
So make sure to say all of the most embarrassing things that you thought about our podcast.
Yeah. And you know what, Mom? I apologize in advance.
I'm sorry, Mom.
May Jerry Falwell Jr. and Billy Graham get exactly what they deserve. And what they deserve is an eternity of being in a gay dance club where all they play is CBAT.